play this week is a romantic drama played against an exciting background of a great sport, boxing. In the starring role, we have an actress whom you have seen in many varied screen portrayals, whose loveliness and skill have won her fame and many loyal fans. She is Miss Anne Dvorak. In just a moment, we want you to meet her. Now here's our director, Les Mitchell. And here's our star, Miss Anne Dvorak. We've been looking for a story to star you in for a long time, Anne, and now that the time has finally come, we're very glad to have you with us.
And I'm very glad to be here, Les, for more reasons than one.
Oh? Well, supposing you enlighten us.
I'd be glad to. I like our story, and it's always exciting to work on radio, and I need some advice.
Advice about acting, Anne?
No, advice about gardening.
Oh.
I understand you're quite a gardener, and as it's my hobby, I thought I'd...
I'll be very glad to compare notes with you after the play, Anne. And now, curtain going up. Places, everyone. Curtain. The curtain is up, and here's the play. Two blocks from Manhattan's waterfront on the east side of New York City stands the Mecca Boxing Club. Here every Tuesday night, small-time boxing managers bring their boys to show their wares to the fight fans who can't afford a ticket to the big-time bouts at Madison Square Garden. One of these lesser lights in the managerial business of handling the small fry of the boxing game is Maury Dixon, a fleshy-faced, gimlet-eyed hulk of a man whom we find outside the main entrance of the now-darkened club, talking to one of his fighters, Red Kelly, a tall, rangy middleweight with an unruly thatch of carrot-colored hair.
Red, you let me down tonight.
Well, I won my fight, Mr. Dixon.
Yeah, you won. Against a guy old enough to be your old man. You should have put him away in the face round.
I tried, but he was backpedaling all during the fight.
It's no excuse. Red, when I seen you working out at Goldman's gym a week ago, I thought you had something. That's why I got you signed up for the opener tonight.
I'm a little rusty, that's all. I haven't been out of the service long.
All you mugs have alibis. Look, Red, take my advice. Get a job driving a truck or working on the docks. You ain't got what it takes, kid.
Now, wait a minute. I don't take that kind of talk from you or anyone else.
You'll take it and like it. Now, here's $10. I'm being big-hearted giving you this.
$10? You promised me 50 to fight tonight.
Yeah, to fight. Not chase an old man all over the ring. I'm giving you this dough for run a foot race.
And I'm giving you this for being a rat. Keep it, Ten Chisley. You need it more than I do, even if I am broke. Now get going before I give you a real working over.
All right, I'm going. But I won't forget that sock in the jaw, Red. I won't ever forget it.
You make a habit of stalking your managers?
That's the trouble with the fight game. Chisley's like him taking all a fighter's dough.
Oh, I wouldn't say all managers are like that.
Beat it, sister.
Kind of touchy, aren't you, Red?
I said beat it.
Now, is there any way for you to talk to Billy Murphy's sister?
Billy Murphy's sister?
That's right, Red. I'm Katie Murphy. Billy used to write to me about you. You and he were buddies, weren't you?
Yeah, we were buddies. Billy was one of the best lightweights in the business. Fight game lost a great fighter when he got it.
He said you were going places in the fight game, too.
After what you saw tonight, what do you think now?
I think you ought to save that chip on your shoulder for the ring.
Look, you may be Billy Murphy's sister, but that doesn't give you any right to...
Red, what's wrong? You look pale as a ghost.
Wait, it's nothing. I'll be all right. I'll lean against the thing.
Red, when did you eat last?
That has nothing to do with how I feel.
I thought so. Look, Red, you're coming home with me.
I'll be all right.
Sure. You'll be all right. As soon as Pop and I can get some food into you. Come along now, and no argument. Well, how about another cup of coffee, Red?
Oh, no thanks, Katie. I just haven't got room for more. Oh, boy, that meal sure tasted good.
Hey, Pop, what do you think of a guy that goes into a fight without having eaten for 2 days?
Got more courage than brains, I'd say.
I guess you're right, Pop. I'm a little short on the gray matter.
I don't think so, Red. You just need someone to sort of arrange things for you, like a manager.
Who'd want to manage me?
Well,
I'd like to try it.
You? A girl, a fight manager?
What's so wrong with that?
Oh, nothing, I guess, but...
Look, Red, I helped train my brother Billy, and he was one of the best lightweights in the game. All my life I've been around fighters. Why, when Mom died, Pop was at the peak of his ring career. He brought me up. I was weaned on boxing gloves.
Well, okay, why not? But you sure you want to tackle the job, Kitty?
On one condition.
Yeah?
That you'll forget I'm a woman, and you'll follow my instructions to the letter.
Okay, Kitty. It's a deal. Shake.
Right. We got a place in the basement Billy used to use. You can do your training there. Where are you living?
At the Y.
Well, get your things and come on over here. You can have that back room.
Oh, but you...
No buts. I want you where I can keep an eye on you.
Okay, Katie. It's a deal and you're the boss.
Okay, Red, that's enough on the punching bag. Now, let's go over to Central Park. I want you to do 4 laps around the reservoir.
4 laps? The way you and Pop been pushing me the last week, I'll be in the flyweight class.
You heard me. 4 laps, and the last 2 on the double. Wait a minute, Red. You're not even making a pressure on that big bag.
What now?
Well, you're not getting enough power behind those punches, especially that left hook. Here, let me show you what I mean. Well, Red, it's been a month since Pop and I started training you. How do you feel?
Never felt better, Katie. I'm raring to go.
Good. Red, I've got you a fight.
Where?
At the Coliseum, next Thursday night, in one of the preliminaries.
Why, I'll murder the bum. Who is he?
Well, he's no bum, Red. It's Tony Farm.
Oh, he's one of Maury Dixon's boys.
Yeah, that's how I got the fight. Maury thinks Tony will tear you apart, and Maury's still out to get even with you for that sock on the jaw you gave him.
Well, I'll take Tony Farrell, Katie. I've never seen him fight, but I'll take him. Wait a minute, he's not a southpaw, is he?
No, he's not a southpaw, right?
No reason, just curious, that's all.
Well, you get by Tony, and we'll be going up the ladder, Red. We'll be on our way.
Yeah, the both of us, Katie. Katie.
Yes?
I want you to know how grateful I am to you and Pop.
Well, we know what we're doing, Red. You've got the makings of a champion, as long as you keep that temper of yours on ice and don't get mixed up with any dame. To a fighter, dames are poison. Don't ever forget that.
Oh, but you're a dame.
I'm your manager, just your manager, and don't forget that either. I'm in this game for the money I can make. You do what I tell you, we'll both be sitting pretty one of these days. Oh, here it is. Good spot on the sports page. Red Kelly, a newcomer to the middleweight division, showed impressive form in disposing of Tony Farrell, rugged West Side slugger, in the second round of their scheduled 6-rounder. Red, managed by Katie Murphy, is ample proof that the female can compete with the male in guiding the destinies of a fighter. We should hear more from Red and Katie in fistic circles.
Hey, it's pretty good, huh?
Pretty good is not good enough.
Oh, now, Katie, you've got to take it easy. And don't get too ambitious for Red. You got to bring him along slow.
Oh, look, Pop, when you were fighting, things were different. Right now, the middleweight division is wide open.
Yeah, Katie's right, Pop. The more fights I have, the quicker I'll get the crack at that title.
Well, I've seen many a young fighter burnt out before he ever got close to the top. Now, you just watch your step, Katie.
I will, Pop. Don't worry. Before another year has passed, you'll be seeing Red in there with the champion. And then, Pop, you and I'll have enough money to get that chicken farm you always wanted.
I'd like that fine, Katie. But I wouldn't want it at the expense of a punch-drunk fighter.
And here's a boxing item on tonight's sportscast. Red Kelly, up-and-coming middleweight from the off-east side, knocked out Aaron Spetzer of Des Moines, Iowa, in the 9th round of a scheduled 10-round go at the Wyndham Palace here in New York City. Red's outstanding record in the middleweight division within the past 6 months is 1 decision, 9 knockouts in 10 bouts. For a batting average of 1,000, keep your eye on Red Kelly. Red Kelly, who's been blazing a meteoric trail in Fistiana, won a TKO over Georgie Brusick, number 2 challenger for the middleweight crown in 2 minutes, 31 seconds of the 5th round of their scheduled 10-round main event at the Bronx Arena. This is Red's 14th knockout in 15 starts within the past year. It should place him in line for a go at the title any day now.
I've done it.
I'm here in Red's room, Tracy.
Oh, Pop, I was just talking to promoter Mike Edwards. Hey, what's the matter with Red? What's he doing bed this time of the day?
Oh, he's a sick boy, Kiki.
Let me take a look at him, Pop. Here, give me your wrist, Red.
I tell you, I'm all right.
Quiet. Pulse is a little fast, but that doesn't mean anything. Wait until you hear the news I've got. That'll snap you out of it.
Oh, come on. Give, Katie. What is it?
I'm signing you up to fight the champion.
What?
That is, if you can take Marty Wolcott in the main event this coming Friday in the Garden.
But Marty's fighting Al Harris.
Well, Al busted his right hand in training this morning. And Mike Edwards agreed on you to take Al's place.
Main event in the Garden. Oh, boy.
Oh, but, Katie, you can't do it. It's too, you know. That only gives you 3 days, and Red's not in shape. I tell you, he's a sick boy. He needs a complete rest.
Me rest with a chance to get a crack at the title? Katie, scram out of here. I'm going to get dressed.
Katie, if you let Red go through with this, I wash my hands of the both of you. This is one fight in which I won't be in Red's corner. I'll have no part of it.
Red, this is it. This is what I've planned and hoped for ever since we got together. You'll be all right, won't you?
Sure, I'll be fit as a fiddle, Katie. Don't you worry. I'll come through. I won't let you down. I don't want to ever let you down. Katie.
Yes, Red?
After I win this one, maybe we can stop talking shop for a little while and talk about us.
But right now, we've got to start planning our strategy for the fight. Now, Marty's a southpaw, and this is the first southpaw you've come up against.
Yeah, Marty does throw it from the port side, doesn't he?
Yeah, but you won't have to change your style. Just keep an eye on his left, and you won't have any trouble.
Keep my eye on his left.
Yeah, that's it. And remember, Red, this fight is the one that counts.
Katie, if I didn't win, would it make so much difference between you and me?
Red, don't talk like that. Right now, winning that fight Friday night in the Garden is the most important thing in my life.
It's the middle of the sixth round of the main event here at Madison Square Garden between Marty Walcott and Red Kelly. And there's another left hook by Marty to Red's jaw. Red doesn't seem to be able to do anything about that left hook. And there's a right to the midriff by Red. Another right. And there's another hard left by Marty, which almost staggered Red. But Red's holding on. That last left hook shook him up plenty. And now they're up the center of the ring again. Red Kelly isn't showing the form he had in previous fights, and he's had plenty in the last year. And there's another terrific left, followed by a flurry of rights and lefts to the hip of Marty. And now Red's holding on for dear life. And there's the bell for the end of the sixth round. And Red staggers all over the ring as though he couldn't find his own corner. Now his handlers grab him and sit him down on the stool. And now his manager, Katie Murphy, is talking to him furiously. Red looks glassy-eyed. He's taken terrific punishment this last round. Katie's trying to snap him out of it. She's slapping his face, trying to bring him around. But wait a minute. Red is standing up in his corner. And Katie's trying to tell him something, but he won't listen.
Red, listen to me. You can't lose this one. You've got to get out there. You've still got 4 rounds to go. You can make it.
No, Katie, I can't. I can't fight anymore.
Red, you can't quit on me now.
It's no use, Katie. I can't.
Red, think of the title shot.
I'm not coming up for the seventh, Katie. Tell him I can't make it. Tell him, Katie.
It's too late. Tell him yourself. I'm through. Through with you for good. You're yellow clean through.
Pandemonium has broken loose here in the Garden, ladies and gentlemen. Red Kelly refused to come out for the seventh round, and I can hardly blame him. He took everything in the book from Marty Walcott, and though he isn't marked up much, he's a very, very tired boy. Now they're leading Red up the aisle to his dressing room, but Katie Murphy, his manager, went on ahead. It looked like she was plenty mad. I guess those boos you hear are for Red. Some of the fans think he quit, although he took plenty of punishment. But you know, the fans don't like a guy to quit standing up in his corner. Well, that's all, folks. Listen to your sports parade of boxing next Friday night at the same time. Tom Hanlon speaking.
Pop, I tell you, he quit on me.
He could still go, Pop, but no. He stands up in his corner with the whole garden looking at him and quits.
Oh, now, take it easy, Katie. Maybe the lad had a reason.
Oh, would you have done that when you were fighting? Would you?
I don't know, Katie. I never did.
Oh, Pop, why did he do it? If it had been anyone else but him, I guess I could take it.
Oh, so it's that way, eh, Katie?
Oh, Pop, why did he let me down? I had plans for Red, Pop. For all of us.
I know you did, Katie, but did you ever tell Red that?
Tell him what?
That you loved him.
I don't love him. I hate him.
Hate comes pretty close to love sometimes, Katie.
Love. Listen to me, Pop. I don't want to see Red Kelly as long as I live. I don't want to see another fighter as long as I live.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Murphy?
Thank you, Dr. Harris.
What can I do for you?
Dr. Harris, I came over here to the hospital because I heard you had a friend of mine here as one of your patients. He's a boxer by the name of Red Kelly.
Oh, yes. He came in here about 2 weeks ago.
Tell me, Doctor, how is he?
Well, we dismissed him from the hospital this morning.
What was wrong with the lad?
He asked me not to say anything about his condition to anyone.
Doctor, that boy means as much to me as my own son.
I see. Mr. Murphy, did you know that Red Kelly was blind in his right eye?
Oh, the saints preserve us. Then it happened in his last fight.
No, Mr. Murphy. Red hasn't had sight of that eye since he was wounded in the service.
You mean Red's been fighting for the past year with only one glimmer?
Yes. The reason he was brought in here to me was that he temporarily lost the sight of his other eye.
Oh,
that did happen in his last fight. Red Kelly fought part of that fight without being able to see his opponent.
Oh.
He was struck a blow in the fifth round that affected the sight in his good eye. From then on, he just fought by instinct alone until he knew it was hopeless to go on.
Doctor, tell me, is he still blind?
Only partially, Mr. Murphy. He'll never see out of that right eye. But we managed to bring back the sight in his left one.
Oh, thank God for that.
But Mr. Murphy...
Yes, Doctor?
If Red Kelly ever sets foot inside a boxing ring again, it'll just be an invitation to total blindness for the rest of his life.
So that's it, Katie. That's what the doctor told me.
Oh, Pop. And I called him yellow.
In the heat of anger, we often say many things we wish we could take back.
I ran out on him. I ran out on him when he needed me most. We've got to find him.
That won't be hard to do, Katie. I stopped in at Goldman's gym on the way home from the hospital, and Red was there.
Pop, what was he doing?
He was starting training again.
Pop, we can't let him go through with it. We've got to stop him.
That's not going to be easy. I tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen to me. Those bitter words of yours are the only things he can hear now. And he wants to wipe them out of his brain, Katie. And the only way he knows how is with his own two fists.
No, we can't let him. Pop, I love him. I love him with all my heart. You got to help me. What can I do, Pop?
Well, Katie, once you did everything in your power to make him fight. And now you've got to do everything in your power to stop him from fighting. Now get those tears out of your eyes. You've got to get him off the canvas and start punching again. Punching like you never punched before.
Red, you can't go through with this. I won't let you.
You won't let me. Look, from now on, you haven't got anything to say about what I do. If you want a cut of what I make fighting, okay, I'll give it to you. But Harry over there is handling me now, and he don't like dames interfering with his fighters, and neither do I.
Red, you don't know what you're doing.
You said once, Katie, that dames were poison to fighters, remember? Well, you're poison to me, double poison. Okay, Harry, let's get over to the big bag. I'm going to knock it clear across this gym.
Dr. Harris, I've come here to your office to ask a favor.
Then I'd be glad to help you, Miss Murphy, if I can.
You treated Red Kelly. You know what would happen if he fought again.
Yes, I do, and I don't like to think of it.
Well, Red is going to fight again. Tomorrow night at the Bridgewood Grove. And you're the only one who can stop it.
I?
Well, if you'd call the boxing commissioner and tell him just what would happen if Red stepped into that ring tomorrow night, I think they'd call it off.
Why are you asking me to do this, Miss Murphy? Never mind, I think I know. Don't worry, Miss Murphy. I'll see that Red Kelly never puts on the gloves again.
minute, dog. Break the door down.
Oh. Where is she, Pop? Where's that daughter of yours? Sir, help me. If you don't tell me, I'll...
Oh, you'll do nothing but sit down in that chair and listen to me. Remember, I was a fighter once too, Red, and only I had more sense. Now sit down before I let you have
Pop,
it.
I'm so mad.
Oh, calm down, Red. I'm getting fed up with you and Katie, acting like a couple of alley brats.
They called off my fight tomorrow night, and she's back, but I know she is. She's sore because she's not my manager anymore. I told her I'd give her a cut of my purse. All she ever cared about anyhow was how much dough she could make on me. Well, she made plenty.
Yes, and she put most of what she made into her bank account for you.
What?
Yes, there's the bank book on the table. Go take a look at it for yourself.
But...
why? Oh, you crazy-headed Irishman. Can't you guess?
You mean...
why do you think she went to Dr. Harris and had him call the commissioner to have your fight canceled tomorrow night? And why do you think she's eating her heart out for fear that you'll be totally blind?
Well, then...
Yes?
Pop, where is she?
You're sure you don't want to take a swing at her for what she's done?
Oh, cut it, Pop. I gotta see her.
Okay, me bucko. She's down at the end of the block, sitting on one of them benches along the East River. But I don't think she wants to talk to you.
She's got to, Pop. I gotta tell her something.
Well, if I were you... I'd spar around a bit before I let go of me Sunday punch.
I mind if I sit down on this bench?
It belongs to the city. It's free.
I was wondering, you don't know where I could find a good fight manager, do you?
You're expecting a fight?
All depends.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know any fight managers.
Do you know where I can find any kind of a manager? Someone who could look after all my affairs?
Wouldn't that be a pretty big order?
No, not for the right person. You see, I'm thinking of switching to another line of business.
Like what, for instance?
Well, like raising chickens on a farm in Jersey. I know of a place that's for sale over there, but I need a partner and manager. One who could help me raise something else, too.
What else?
I was also thinking of raising a family. The guy's just got to have a manager when he starts raising a family. What do you say, Katie? How about signing me up once again, this time for keeps? Gee, Katie, don't let me keep punching this way.
Oh, man.
Katie, darling.
Oh, I've missed you so, Red. Hold me close.
Sure, Katie.
You know something, Red, darling?
What?
Until now, I never realized how good you were in the clinches.
Now here's our director, Les Mitchell. And here's our star, Miss Anne Dvorak. That was a performance well worth waiting for, Anne.
Thank you, Les. And now, how did your garden grow?
Well, profusely, Anne. What seems to be your trouble?
Violets. They're my favorite flowers, but they're so hard to keep alive. They just seem to burn up here in the summer. What would you do?
Well, I think I can help you with the violets, but really, I'd get another favorite flower. Violets are sort of on the difficult side to raise in Southern California. You see, Anne, the secret of my success is the hardy flower and its proper environment. Now, I grow water lilies and water and a cactus garden and dry soil. Oh.
Seriously, Les, I've always wanted to have a garden as large as yours, but right now mine's a sort of a little haphazard. But I'm making plans for a lath house and a glass house, and my vegetables are doing pretty well.
Well, speaking of vegetables, Anne, you ought to try tampala. It's a very healthful species of lettuce imported from China.
So you're ahead of me in the vegetable field, too.
And what about vegetable spaghetti, which comes from the Far East? It's a large white fruit on a vine, and when you boil it and scoop it out, the inside of it looks like spaghetti.
Oh, that's all. When spaghetti comes on vines, that's all. Before I go, I'd like to thank Ira Grossell, who played opposite me, and the rest of the cast for their splendid performances. And now, goodbye.
Goodbye, and good gardening, Miss Anne Dvorak. Star Miss Anne Dvorak as Katie, Ira Grossell as Red, Herbert Rawlinson as Pop, Hans Conrad as Maury and the Doctor, and Tom Hanlon as the sportscaster.
Sunday Punch was written by Joseph and Dorothy Fox, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
It's been a real pleasure bringing you our play, Sunday Punch, and we do hope you'll be with us again next week.
Musical score was composed and conducted by Adele Castillo. Be sure to listen each and every week and hear such stars as John Newland, Elise Knox, co-starring with her husband Tom Harmon in a timely football story, and many other great actors and great stories selected especially for them. Anne Dvorak can be seen in the RKO production The Long Night. Dan Desitel speaking.